Hello, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, September 23rd, 2007. It's now about 8.05 p.m. We're about 5 minutes late in broadcasting because of a technical difficulty. But right now, we are back on the air, folks. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. And I repeat that, we need to be revolutionaries in thought and dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Now on to our program. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 and we'll take your comments while on the air. At other times, you may call 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Of course, you may send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access broadcasts from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues, especially during these tumultuous times. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com, and that too is a numerical two, mytwocentsonline.com. Andy discusses issues, economic issues, and how they affect you. Also listen to his commentary on blogtalkradio.com/my2cents. In fact, we're going to read some stuff from Andy this evening. And good evening, everyone. We apologize for being exactly 5 minutes late. We had a technical difficulty. It was actually a glitch in the system. We rebooted the system and the glitch went away. Hooray! Okay, this is Joe Cristiano. Welcome to Liberty Talk Radio. Callers, 646-652-4620. And we'd love to hear from you. Take your call on the air. Today's subject will be the Federal Reserve, the money, your money, and banking. And see where we go with that. I have a couple of emails I'd like to read to you. One is a complimentary one. I'll start with the complimentary one. I listened to your archives of your show, and I really liked it. You go deep into the libertarian ideology and explain it well. Good love, Coco. Thank you so much, Coco. I appreciate that. And for that, we'll send you something in the mail. Just send us your mailing address and your T-shirt size, please. The second email is from Andy himself, the man. He says, listening to your show, barter won't work in a complex society, money due to the divisibility of goods and the division of labor, i.e. an auto maker would have to pay its workers in cars, which are not easily divided to trade for other items like food, etc. On a small scale, however, barter will work just fine. A neighborhood where everyone grows different crops and trades the surplus. Andy, I agree with you. It's generally impractical. That's why they came out with a with currencies and certificates. But again, as you know, Andy, better than I do, you know, these certificates were backed by something and people had faith in them because they were worth something. Not because someone just said they are worth something. You may use this in exchange. Good luck, folks. You're absolutely right. You know, there was a website that I looked at one time, and it was an online novel. And I didn't read the entire one, but the entire novel, but I read a good portion of it, and it was interesting. It was a hypothetical financial collapse where coined money was the only medium of exchange. Now, although the coined money didn't have any commodities into it anymore, like copper or nickel or silver or gold. It did have more value, although it just contains zinc and aluminum, it had more value than the paper money. So the penny, for example, regained its prominence as a medium of exchange. It was very interesting. I have to understand, this is at a time, in this hypothetical example, where all of the currency collapsed, where, you know, $1 million wouldn't buy you, paper dollars wouldn't buy you a loaf of bread. So all of a sudden, this coin that took something to make, it was expensive, relatively expensive to make for a penny, and had some metal in it, albeit not very expensive metal, it was worth something. So if you can get a few pennies together, then you were able to buy a loaf of bread. It was a fascinating story, and I don't recall the title of it. I do not recall the author. I would give credit to it. I just don't recall. But I guess in that type of society, we're not bartering, but we're resurrecting the original tent of currency. But anyway, it's very interesting. Thank you very much, Andy, for that. I hope you're listening in. Something this week, very interesting. Ron Paul faced Bernanke at Capitol Hill in a hearing about the situation going on with the credit crisis. And Ron Paul made an excellent case for asking the Federal Reserve to explain where the moral ground was for creating money out of thin air, inflating that created money, inflating it, which hurt the poor and the middle class, to benefit the financial institutions and the very wealthy. And folks, let me remind you, 646-652-4620. Please call in, and I'd like to take your call. And that's very interesting. His presentation was about 5 minutes long or so. I'm just guessing, around 5 minutes. Excellent presentation in that regard. Bernanke's only response is that he takes inflation very seriously, and they watch it very closely. Never answer the question. The look on Bernanke's face gave it away. He should have said, "Thank you, Mr. Bernanke. You need not respond. We have your response." It was very, very interesting. Anyway, he talked about the moral justification in devaluing the dollar, and that's exactly what's been happening in the past week. And by the way, the debt, the national debt, we have to raise the limit on the national debt, you know, because come October, we ran out of money. Now, the amount that we're short is a measly $850 billion. Folks, $850 billion. In other words, the government took our money and then mortgaged our money, mortgaged us, spent the money, and now is going to raise the debt limit. Now, $850 billion is only a measly $150 billion away from $1 trillion. In 1 year, we went almost $1 trillion more in debt. We had to raise the limit, which we've done, I think, so far, something like 14 times or 18 times in the past 17 years or something. Now, this is ridiculous. They cannot control spending. If you want to know why we're having a financial crisis, that's a good reason for it. I'm going to read to you also an article here that I have here. I have several articles which I'm going to read from today. Here it says, we're in the post-Bretton Woods era. Well, basically, it means that the exchange rate of U.S. currency is no longer maintained within a fixed value in terms of gold, for example, you know, plus or minus a percent. The U.S. dollar is allowed to float, which means that its value is wholly determined on the foreign exchange market, which is the Forex. Folks, this program is about liberty. And when we say liberty, what I am attempting to do is make the connection between government inflating money and loss of liberty. And the way I do that is if you've earned your money, and I said this last week, if you've earned money, you're entitled to that exchange. For your efforts, you receive certain remuneration. Now, if anyone has the right, could you imagine someone having the right saying, oh, by the way, you know that $50 that's in your wallet, it's I'm deeming it only to be worth $45 right now, so it's only $45. That, in effect, is taking your liberty away, is it not? I mean, you wouldn't allow anyone to do that. I mean, that would be robbery. Someone would be stealing from you. That's exactly what the Bernanke government is doing. It is making that $50 worth less. Now, how much less? Look at this. Let's go through a few. In 1936, federal spending moved to 9% of gross domestic product under FDR. By the way, he did some good things. He did some horrible things also. And listen to this, up from 2.5% in 1929. Government spending was 2.5% of GDP. What is it now, 40%, 50%? Okay, you want to know why we have $850 billion deficit. The American currency is now at par with the Canadian dollar for the first time in more than 30 years. Now, folks, the Canadian dollar is nothing to write home about. We should be ashamed that we are at parity with the Canadian dollar. Okay? Its fall has gathered pace in recent weeks as traders foresee a slowing American economy while expecting more robust growth overseas. The Federal Reserve's decision this week to cut interest rates put further pressure on the dollar by making investment returns in other countries comparatively more lucrative. And this I'm getting from the New York Times article, Dollar Falls to New Lows Against the Euro. Let's see, who wrote this? Ian Austin, I guess, and Vikas Bhaiya. The Federal Reserve, as American assets become cheaper to buyers overseas, foreigners may step up their purchase of businesses and land here, creating political and cultural tensions. Now, if there are tensions because foreign companies are buying our assets, don't blame the foreign countries. This program is about money and banking and our liberty. If you want this country owned, not by Americans, but by foreigners, you will support the Federal Reserve. If you want this country owned by Americans, run by Americans, for Americans, you will vote for an abolishment of the Federal Reserve. That's your two choices. I know it sounds kind of wacky, but that's the only answer. It goes on to say, the impact of the falling dollar is rippling through the world and American economies in numerous ways. It will give an edge to American manufacturers and has already helped lift exports by more than 11% in the first 8 months of the year. Businesses with large foreign operations can expect a lift in profits when they convert their overseas earnings into dollars because the overseas currencies is worth more, okay? On the other side of the equation, the decline in the American currency is helping push up commodity prices, most of which are denominated in dollars, and kindling fears that inflation could rise. Crude oil futures surged to $83.32 a barrel yesterday, up 2% from the day before, 37% for the year. Long-term bonds fell sharply in value, and gold prices were up 1.4% to $733.26 a troy ounce. Now, many traders and economists predict that the dollar will weaken further because the American economy is expected to underperform in the biggest trading partners for some time. The Canadians, which are have a source of anxiety now because they are export dependent, and now it's becoming the Canadian dollar's anemic state lent it little respect, although the currency's popular name, the loonie, comes from the bird depicted on the $1 coin. And what's interesting is that The Simpsons had an animated show in Toronto shortly after the Canadian currency's collapse in 2002. Homer Simpson won over a recalcitrant security guard by waving a single American dollar in his face. Ha ha ha. Boy, that came home to roost. And here we go. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke said Thursday in congressional testimony that the U.S. economy and markets had reached a wave of foreclosures in the U.S. prime or high-risk mortgage sector in a manner that has far exceeded even the most pessimistic estimates. Isn't that sweet? The yuan, that's the Chinese currency, finished Friday at a record of 7.503 yuan to a dollar. However, the pace of its appreciation remains a major source of friction between the United States and China, with Washington accusing Beijing of keeping the currency purposely low to give its exports an unfair advantage. You bet they are. They're not stupid. Okay. And, of course, my favorite subject, gold, 27-year high in London. And you have to understand that gold was $850 an ounce back in 1981. I recall seeing an ad for a Chevy Impala, and the ad said, you know, come in and buy it for something like $3,200 at the time. This is back in 1981. And he says, or four gold coins. We're going to see that day comes back. I should have kept that ad. It was very interesting. I recall that very, very vividly. Gold is making its mark simply because it is a hedge against the monetary inflation that we have. Folks, when you have a government that is so irresponsible as to allow the Federal Reserve to issue money to banks, lower the interest rate so they can give more money out so people who can't afford houses can buy more houses that they can't afford, what do you expect from this? You see, every time the government issues more money, it inflates our money supply, and that debases the money supply. When it debases the money supply, your money becomes more worthless. It is time to get out of dollars. It's time to get rid of the dollars, because the dollars are becoming less and less valuable. And that's becoming less and less valuable over all, over the entire spectrum. Every country realizes that. Countries right now are diversifying from the dollar. Some will not use dollar-denominated oil. They'll use euro-denominated oil. And this is a departure since, almost 70 years of having the dollar the major currency around the world. Interesting, isn't it? I had an interesting conversation with people. We were listening to a band, a friend of mine, played in a club, and he said, why don't you come listen to our band? And I knew some of the fellows in the band. They're very, very good. So it was a Friday evening, and my wife went over, and I went over there and, you know, just sat down and listened. And his wife was there with friends. So we started chatting, you know, during the break and whatever. We just start talking about everything and anything. As you know, people just talk about things, you know, just sitting down. And the conversation steered to what's going on with the Federal Reserve and, you know, the credit crunch and stuff like that. And I started giving him my opinion, and it was amazing how interested they were. I was quite surprised that they were interested at all. And in fact, for the rest of the evening, that's all we talked about. And what was not surprising is they had not an inkling of what I said, not even an idea of what I was saying. I mean, they understood what I was saying, but it never crossed their mind. In fact, the reason was one woman said, "Oh yeah, I'm saving my money," and I said, "Well, you may want to rethink that." She says, "Why?" She said, "I'm saving my money because, you know, it looks like things are going to get kind of rough, and I'm going to need my money." I said, "Well, that may be true," and then we talked about the value of the dollar, and she didn't disagree. And she was shocked. She said, you know, my father used to talk to me about things like this. And she says, that makes a lot of sense. And she said, I'm going to call you again. I'm going to need some information. Well, even those people who are now being reluctant to save them, reluctant to spend their money, and they want to save their money, they have to be very careful. Isn't that a fine hellabaloo? Isn't that a fine how do you do, isn't it? If that you have to be reluctant to save money today because the money you're saving may be worthless or becomes more worthless. We need to recognize, folks, that our monetary system should be based on something other than the full faith and credit of a government that we no longer have full faith and credit in. No one does. No one around the world does. Now, that doesn't mean America is bad. It has nothing to do with the country itself. It has nothing to do with our Constitution. It does have a lot to say about our political structure, about the people in office. We have Democrats now lambasting the administration. But wait a minute, folks. They're all part of this charade. They're all part of this game. Where were they when all these boondoggles came through? Where were they when all of this money was being spent for all of these items that had nothing to do with the original bill? I mean, they're all part of it. They are all guilty. The only one that I can say that probably is not guilty for sure is Dr. No. And Dr. No is Ron Paul. But everyone else is guilty. Now, of course, they all consider Ron Paul as a crazy man because they have to discredit him. He's sort of like the straight cop in a crooked police department. That's the best way to describe it. And what they try to do is they discredit the person who's honest because everyone else is trying to save their skin. Now, we cannot be a free people, and this is a program about your liberty. Understand that. This is not a financial network. You want finance? Go see Andy Sutton at mytwocentsonline.com. He'll talk finance with you. He's the expert. I'm not. I will just reference finance in respect to your liberty. You cannot have liberty if the money that is in your pocket is uncertain. That means you may have liberty. You may be free. You may have the right to your money. Maybe. And that's not what this country was built on. The Constitution only provides for the government to do one thing, to print mint coins. Now, back then, minting coins only meant one thing. And I don't think the Constitution mentions the content, but they were only minted two types of coins back then, basically. They minted silver in gold coins. That's all. It didn't have to be said. It was said. It was understood. Minting was silver and gold. And people used the silver and gold coins as exchange. And silver and gold was used throughout Europe in the 1800s, and commerce boomed. It was the euro of its time. Now, the question is, and I'm asked very frequently, well, why did the government get off the gold standard? Well, the government cannot inflate the money supply on a gold standard. Because if more gold isn't created, isn't mined, and isn't purchased by the federal government, you have no more money. Now, gold typically increases in supply because they're always mining it, but to a small degree, and typically runs about parallel with the increase in the number of people, increase in the number of, you know, the gross domestic product, increase in productivity, increase in populations, etc., stuff like that. And so the variation is very, very, very small. The purchasing power of gold today is a little bit higher than it was in 1813. I'm going to say that again. Our purchasing power of gold today is as high, or a little bit higher now that the price went up slightly, than it was in 1813. The purchasing power of the dollar from 1813 to today is somewhere around, it has decreased somewhere around 95%. What does that tell you? If, in fact, the government had to back up each dollar with gold, with the gold reserves that purportedly it has, and we're not sure if it still has it, each dollar, and I did a, this is a quick and dirty calculation, so don't bet on it, but it's probably relatively close. It'll just give you an idea. Each coin, each 1 ounce coin would be worth somewhere around $37,000. Now, this, I did this calculation about a year ago, so it's probably worse than that. Maybe it's $40,000 today. Just think of that. But what that gives you is a perspective of what a gold coin was and what, you know, we always say, well, back in the old days, you know, this cost a nickel and this cost a penny and this cost so much and this, you know, and we say, well, now, you know, it's 10 times, 20 times, 30 times more than it was back then. There's no need for that. But you see, if the government didn't do that, they couldn't finance the wars. Could you imagine being on a gold standard and marching on Baghdad at the same time? Could not be done. They'd have to take all the gold. In fact, they would deplete all their gold in a couple of months. There would be no more currency. In fact, there would be no more currency in the United States. We would all be without any currency whatsoever. It would get all sucked dry. Well, obviously, that wouldn't be good for the nation. There would be riots in Washington. But when there's no gold, when there's no standard, then the government just continues to print money. And they need more money? Just print it. We need more tanks? Just print a few billion more. And isn't it absolutely unconscionable that the government is already short, and it's not even the end of the fiscal year. They are already short $850 billion. You know, that's more than the gross national product, domestic product of most countries around the world. That's what we're short, though. We should be very much concerned. When we go to the polls to vote, we should remember this. And what we should do is listen to what the candidates are saying. If the candidates are promising you universal health care, free child care, free Social Security, basically, the Social Security that we have now with no strings attached, if they're promising you free education, free loans, everything, and you know the way they promise everything in the world, don't vote for that person. It may sound good, but it's going to run bad. Everything's going to run bad. Vote for the person who is looking to stabilize our currency so the money that we have, that we've earned, is worth what we thought it was. There basically are only two people to vote for. On the Republican side, it would be Ron Paul, and on the Democrat side, it would be I forgot his name. Isn't that embarrassing? Cavell. Mike Cavell from Alaska. Only two people worth. I'd love to see a Ron Paul president, Cavell vice president ticket. That would be wonderful. And yet, each party that they belong to considers them the nutcakes, because they realize that the system is so rotten, and they blast the system, and the system doesn't like it. Now, I mentioned in my blog, I say, where does money come from? You know, well, right now, it comes from a printing press, and they monetize the printed money via debt. That's what they do. They just create debt on the other side of the ledger, and then they print the money. But you see, back in the old days, it wasn't that way. Back in the old days, we had banks. And what the banks did was very simple. They just printed the money. And but before they did that, before they can do that, they'd have to have something to back it up. And it was a free banking system. It was very interesting. You'd think it would be just willy-nilly here or there, but everyone, all the banks knew which bank was good, which bank was bad. And if you had a note from a bank that was solid, it was as good as gold. There is no reason for the federal government to be in the monetary business at all, although the Constitution does allow it to mint coins. Let it mint coins. But let us mint coins as we used to. Copper pennies, copper and nickel nickels, silver dimes, silver quarters, silver half dollars, silver dollars. And the paper dollars, if we're going to do that, let that be done by the banks. Totally detached from the federal government. And if someone's going to regulate it, let someone regulate it on the free, in the free market. Let the free market regulate it. Now, people would say, well, geez, you'd have wildcat banks and people losing all their money, this and that. Folks, no, that's not the case. Those stories you hear about wildcat banks and people losing their money were few and far between. What you do have now is you have a guarantee of a run on a bank every day because the government keeps on printing more money and debases the money supply. You have a guarantee that you'll eventually lose your money. If you kept your money in cash, you know, the past couple of years, if I kept my money that I have in my portfolio in cash, it would have gone up so little. And then, of course, you'd be taxed on it, so you'd probably lose money on the deal. But because I keep my money in equities, what has happened is the equities had adjusted for inflation. Now, I didn't make much money, but it certainly went up in value. It went up in price, but didn't go up much in value. And that's what's happening to the United States. There are a lot of millionaires today in the United States, but compared to, you know, 40 years ago, they're really no richer than they were. They would have been non-millionaires or just thousandaires 40 years ago, so it would have been no big deal, but they would have had the same purchasing power. You see how the government robs that? Robs from you? Now, the way they're going to pay for the war in Iraq is with cheaper money in the future. So if they owe $1 trillion, you know, maybe 5 years from now, $1 trillion will be, you know, there'll be plenty of trillionaires around. So it'll be, you know, easy tax dollars. They'll pay it. They'll pay it with inflated money. And the people who bear the brunt of that is through that hidden tax of inflation, you and I. Folks, as George Collins said, you know, there's a big party going on. You and I haven't been invited and we don't belong. We're not part of the club. We're not going to make out on this deal. And the only way to make out on the deal is to divorce yourself. Totally divorce yourself from the U.S. currency itself. It looks like we're back to barter. Even if you buy gold coins today, you're actually bartering because it's not recognized as currency, is it? You're going to have to exchange it for something else. Or silver coins, or copper coins, or anything. Anything of value. I am really interested in seeing what happens this week. Last week, we saw on Thursday, we saw silver pop up for the first time, and silver is a sleeping giant. If someone asked me for a recommendation on where they should put their money, I'd say put it all in silver, and I don't make recommendations. I don't do that. That's not my job. But if I had to, for some reason, give a person a recommendation on where to put their money, I would say put it in silver. Silver, in my opinion, has no place to go but up. All the above ground supplies, that means the stuff that's been mined and put in storage, is all gone. The replenishment of silver is lacking. The production is lacking consumption. And with all of these high-tech gadgets coming out, they use a preponderance of silver. Although the photo industry no longer requires much silver because we're using digital cameras and not silver plates. You know, the photographic paper used to be made out of silver dust. So silver is still in tremendous demand and it's increasing, especially in the medical community. But the supply is going down. I asked a fellow who is in charge of a hedge fund that I know, and I said, what's your opinion of silver? He says, the biggest sleeping giant there is out there. And I've heard that from more people of various backgrounds. So if you want to know, well, what do I do now? Well, I would I would at least have some silver just to protect myself. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever happens is going to be very interesting. And I think we're going to have even a further loss of liberty, because these Federal Reserve notes that's in our wallet, like you hear that commercial, what's in your wallet, in our wallet, is going to become less and less valuable. Once they become less and less valuable, they will lose some of the confidence, international confidence. And once that happens, and you have the ball rolling in that direction, it's going to be very difficult to stop. All these mortgages that are what they call resetting because of the no-interest loans and variable-rate loans, etc., they're a big-time bomb. Now, when the Federal Reserve decides to bail people out by printing more money and lending it to the bank, all they're doing is putting more money in the nation's supply. If you want to know why there's a bank on every corner these days in every city, every shopping center has one or two or three banks, a large bank, shopping centers, you have multiple banks. That's unprecedented. You never saw that before. And the only reason why you're seeing it now is because you basically can't fail. If you do fail, the government bails you out. It's like owning a store, and you know, if you don't make any money, don't worry about it. The government will come there and they'll pay your expenses for you. Well, everyone would open it. You know, if shoe stores were like that, there'd be a shoe store on every corner. We have a bank on every corner. You know, you don't have to be a Harvard business graduate, MIT graduate, to know what's going on, to detect what's going on. Just look around you. If there were fewer banks, that means money is a little bit more difficult to get. That means it's a tough business to be in. That means there's high risk, and not everyone wants to be in a high-risk business. But right now, it's in a low-risk or no-risk business because the government bailed you out. Now, they bail banks out using our money, as Ron Paul said in his speech to Bernanke. He said, why are we using people's money by inflating the money supply, debasing it, making it worth less, taking money out of my wallet to bail out irresponsible financial institutions? Bernanke would not answer that. I think Bernanke is a traitor. I think he should be tried as a traitor, him and Greenspan together, and they should lock their hands together. I heard Greenspan on television. Boy, talking about weasel words, the guy looks like a weasel and he uses weasel words. What a combination. History will treat Bernanke and Greenspan very harshly. Their policies have done nothing but debase the American currency and allowed the government to do what it wanted to do. Now Greenspan is coming back and said, well, I've warned them about this. And he actually had the audacity to say that he didn't know what the effect would be of these giving out so many subprime loans. He didn't know what the effect would be giving loans to people without asking them if they had a job. That is, to me, is just something that is stupid to say. I mean, I would make up some reason, but I wouldn't say something stupid like that. And yet Greenspan, that's revered around the world, would say something stupid like that. And every time he's asked a question about why he supported this, or he didn't know, or didn't say anything, you get some weasel words of how, you know, he actually alluded to it and this and that, and he harped on it. You know, all garbage. I wouldn't buy his book. If you gave me his book, I'd use it as fuel to my fireplace. Anyway, it's happy times. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens this week. And if something does happen this week, it'd be interesting to see if the government decides to let's bail them out again. See if they debase the money supply again. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no crystal ball. If I knew it was going to happen, I'd be a billion trillionaire overnight because I'd put all my resources there and I'd just see it grow exponentially. I am concerned that the American person, whether you be libertarian or not, is under an illusion that things somehow are going to work out. Somehow the Federal Reserve will come to the rescue of the American economy. And remember, folks, when they say the American economy is strong, and they say corporations are almost at full productivity, their profits are high, and they have plenty of cash on their balance sheet, that assumes a stable financial system. Our financial system is far from stable. It is rocky. It is on the brink of collapse. And no matter how strong your company is, no matter how productive your economy is, it will collapse. If companies have plenty of cash and that cash becomes less valuable or worthless, that company's in trouble. If people don't want cash because they're uncertain as to its value, why would you produce something and sell them something of value for paper money? See, you wouldn't. The engine of the economy comes to a screeching halt very, very quickly. And that's my concern. But I don't know what the way out is. The government's not going to say, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. You know, I know we had this $9.6 trillion debt out here. And, you know, boy, we slipped. Sorry about that, guys. We're going to start pulling it back. I don't think they'll do that. Now, if they did do that and they reduced the size of the army. They closed down all the foreign bases. They stopped giving money away to foreign countries. I mean, 100%. They stopped giving $3 billion away to Israel every year. They stopped the social programs. They said, all right, folks, you're on your own. Then I'd say they have a probability of resurrecting the dollar. But short of that, I don't think it's going to happen. So I think what I read to you in the beginning of this broadcast is about correct. Is that we're going to see a continuing debasement of the dollar. I think we're going to see a continuing erosion of the economy as well. And we can go into a recession. Now, all a recession means that we recede. That means we have two quarters of negative growth. That's all. I mean, it's no really big deal. I mean, countries haven't fallen because of that. That happens to us from time to time. No big deal. But I think it'll be more than that because once it goes there, if the dollar continues its fall, we may fall into the depression. Now, depression means that the cost of everything goes down. And if you have money that's worth something, that's backed by something, that money becomes more valuable. If you have money that's not backed by anything, that money can become worthless. That's scary. We've had no calls this evening. This is a Sunday evening. It is now almost 10 to 9. I didn't mean to, let's see, we have about 11 minutes left on our broadcast. I really don't have, I was hoping to get a couple of call-ins this evening on the subject that we have, but we don't have any this evening. And it's possible because we started 5 minutes late and we may have lost some of our callers right from the very beginning, so I apologize for that. Let me do this. Next Thursday, I think we're going to change the subject a bit, unless we have a something that happens during the week in the financial arena that we need to talk about, or we get email that we have to answer that involves this subject. But I'd like to start talking about universal health care. Let's give a good look at that. That's a confusing subject. You know, universal health care sounds really good. You know, and the plan by Hillary Clinton sounds really good. You know, well, geez, why don't we just do that? But I think we need to look behind the curtain. Let's see what's behind the curtain on universal health care. Okay, it's about 10 minutes to 9. This is Central Time in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is Liberty Talk Radio. We've had no call-ins to 646-652-4620. If we don't get one in the next few seconds, I'm going to suggest that you think about this stuff that we talked about today, and then we can talk about it later on. And maybe you can call in next time. All righty. Let's see. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. I'm sorry, 2186. I slur sometimes. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. And remember, don't steal, folks. The government hates competition. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.